Guys, so I just want to tell you a story that before we start this Gemara here. So when I was in yeshiva, I remember that using me or one of my friends happened to ask a question from the Gemara we're about to read to, guys, ask a question to one of the Shoalim who we've seen in Gush.
Shoalim Eishivs,
sure. To Rav Dani Wolf. And he, Rav Dani is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And he, but he doesn't have like a photographic memory. So he was like, he burst out laughing. He's like, oh, I forgot that was it, the Gemara. That Gemara is so funny, right? Like, it's just one of these Gemaras when you read it. It is, well, we need to do some work to understand it. Okay. So, look at the first line, the first, second one, line on Mem Tet Amud Aleph. Okay, we're going to have to read some Gemara, so bear with me. And I'm only going to give you the Korot. What?
Second which line?
The second wide line, first word in the line on Mem Tet Amud Aleph. Okay? This is a long Gemara, but I want you to bear with me because we need to understand it. And I want to make sure that we understand the questions we need to ask and the directions we can take. And I don't know if we'll get to the Korot this week. Probably not. I don't want to rush through this. I want to understand it because it's a really, really hard series of Agadot. Ready? Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Suda She'ina Shel Mitzvah Ein Talmid Chacham Rashai Lo Not Mimena. Any meal which is not a meal of a mitzvah. So wait, if you're gonna just close the thanks. If it's not a Suda's mitzvah, you aren't allowed to benefit from him. Okay. So far, this is a halacha, right? We have some halacha before we get to the Agadah. So ready? Good? Good. Kigon Mai. So what is an example of a suda which is not a mitzvah? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kigon Bat Kohen Li Yisrael. An example of a non-mitzvah is the daughter of a Kohen marrying a Yisrael. Uvat Talmid Chacham Lama Aretz. The daughter of a scholar is marrying an ignoramus. The Amar of Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan said, "Bat Kohen li Yisrael ein zivugan ole yafe," because Rabbi Yochanan says that if a Bat Kohen marries a regular Jew, their match will not work out well. One second, Maihi, what does it mean? It won't work out well. Amar of Chista, O Almana, O Grusha, O Zera, Ela, she will be widowed, divorced, or barren. Bimatnita Tana, alternative Tanaitic tradition, Kovra o Kovarto. Either he will bury her or she will bury him. O Miviatoli, presumably Leon. O Miviatoli Deyaniut, or she will bring him to poverty. Amy, the Gemara says, really? Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, Harotze Sheit Asher, one who wants to become rich, Yidbat Bizarro Shalaron, should cling to Aaron. Kol Shekein should Torah Ukahuna Masharton, because Torah and Kahuna makes them rich. Lo Kasha, the Gemara says, no problem. Ha B'Talmid Chacham, if a scholar marries a Bat Kohen, amazing, the brachot that come to that couple, amazing. Ha B'Amo Aretz, if an Amo Aretz marries a Bat Kohen. And then, now we start turning towards stories, right? So far, mostly halachic, right? Yes? Halacha. Do we paskin like this? Good shayla. Hold that. Yes, Josh.
There are other options of non-mitzvah pseudos, just a regular meal.
This is an example.
Why does it have to be like a negative?
Very good. So it seems to me that it's a negative, right? That it's not just like, you can't eat. Meaning, are there people, I've heard of like Hasidish rabbis, or like, I only eat from Sudat mitzvah. So like, otherwise I don't eat. Okay. That's probably not what it means. Like, I wake up in the morning, I want to go learn, so I have an apple. No. Okay, that's not, like Ray Willig is, you know, who's like, if you know anything Ray Willig is like most disciplined person I know. And he's like super, super machbit on being healthy. And so in addition to like, being a very major posek and giving shir, he'll randomly pepper in things in his shir like, don't you know an apple a day keeps the doctor away? Like, literally, I have an apple a day. He's like, I always have an apple a day. And don't you know you should take the stairs? What are you lazy people taking the elevators, right? And then he was giving this whole conversation. He's like, I want to give you a bracha. He's like, I was married 50 years ago. And on Yom Kippur, I still wear my wedding suit. I give you a bracha that 50 years after your wedding, you still fit into your wedding suit. Right? Like, he's very, very machmid. Right? So, what? Yeah. So the point is, like, look, eating reasonably, keeping yourself healthy, that's not a mitzvah, probably. It's talking about, like, you're part of a suda, a celebration, but it's problematic. Right now, it could be that a celebration for nothing the Gemara also wouldn't like, right? But it probably means a suda, not a, I'm having an apple to give myself energy so that I'm alive, so that I can learn Torah, right? It's a suda, right? Yes. No. Kaderet, no. Now, you'll tell me, why not? Isn't Kiddushin a mitzvah? Yes, but this was an usher Kiddushin, a problematic Kiddushin. But now, very good, right? Very, very good. So here's where things get difficult, because so far the Gemara sounds a little bit halachic. The problem is it doesn't say asur. It says it won't work out. And as Ezra points out correctly, wait a second, it won't work out, and therefore what? It Kiddushin isn't a mitzvah. I mean, maybe it's a mitzvah, right? So what's going on? So the Gemara, and this is where, even though it's halachic, you understand why things are going to start to get, the line between halacha and agada gets a little bit blurry here, because Kiddushin, a suit that you would assume is a mitzvah, but apparently the fact that, like, there's some meta value here means that it's not such a mitzvah, right? And therefore this non-halachic sounding language is taken by the Gemara to be halachic, right? The line between, right, so Ein Zivugon Ole Yafeh sounds like, because that's not a suit of the mitzvah, it sounds like it's not just, well, it's a mitzvah, but you're in danger, but the fact that the marriage isn't one that we endorse actually affects the halacha. And therefore, these lines are going to break down, right? Which is something I want you to keep in mind. Okay? Good. Now the Gemara starts telling stories. Now we move from this already somewhat ambiguous halacha into stories. Now it's not a regular story. This is more of a Maisa Rav sort of, right? Where we're illustrating the halachic sort of halachic point that we're making with stories. Right? That's not a normal story. And that's like, right, Rabbi Gamliel's kids came home late from the meal, right? That's not a story. It's not an agadata. I mean, it's a story, but it's, and he told them you should say Kriyat Shema. Oh, yeah, bedtime story there. Like, when they write those art school books of, like, the agadatas that they just pull out from the Gemaras and make them into stories for kids, yeah. They don't include that one, I don't think, right? Like, that's the end of the story. Well, Rabbi Gamliel's kids went out partying. Got home late, and he said, say Shema. They said, but the Chachamim say that you should, that Chatzot, even though you paskin until the morning. And he said, yes, but they only mean that L'chatzilah as a Gzeira, and therefore you should say Kriyat Shema. Heartwarming. Okay. Ezra's like, that was my bedtime story. Yeah. It sounds great. Rabbi Yeshua, I see like a smile on your face. Rabbi Yeshua Nasif Kahanta. Rabbi Yeshua married a Bat Kohen, Chalash. And he got sick. Amar lo nicha leila Aaron v'idabek bizarei. Right? Apparently, Aaron is not so happy that I am part of his mishpacha. Dehavi lechat nakiana. He doesn't want a son-in-law like me. Now, whoa. Wait, Rabbi Yeshua? Now, the reason it's important to read this is because we're about to launch into a gadata about Ame Haaretz. Yes? What's the problem? We're now in the we're still in the halachic part, or the Maisa Rav part, and now, if I want to ask you, well, what is the Ame Haaretz we're going to be talking about in a minute, suddenly we just seem to have set a standard that is extremely high. Maybe. Well, so first of all, you have to ask whether, throughout the Sugya, Ame Haaretz is to mean the same thing. And the second thing is, there's a little bit of a gap here, which is, what did the Gemara say? And Ame Haaretz shouldn't marry a Bat Kohen, a Talmid Chacham, it'll be great. What have we left out? What about someone who's not Ame Haaretz and not a Talmid Chacham? Oh, maybe. Right? Is it a binary? Meaning, is a binary scholar versus Ame Haaretz, whatever? Well, I don't know what Ame Haaretz means here. Okay. Here's the problem. But here's the problem. What is an Ame Haaretz? Well, okay. What is an Ame Haaretz in the Torah? No. A rich landowner. I'm Haaretz, right? Bifnei Am Haaretz, in right by Ephron. It's not the people. It's the people who have the power to make decisions to their own land, right? Am Haaretz in Chumash is a compliment, right? In Tanakh, it means, as we'll see, not that. For the moment, let's say ignoramus, but that's going to be problematic. Okay? But we do have to ask, is it a binary? Meaning, are you either a Talmud Chacham or an Am Haaretz? You might say yes, but on the other hand, what about someone who's learning in yeshiva, striving to be a Talmud Chacham? Okay, so you're telling me that no one should get married young? I mean, like, right, when do you hit the, right? Okay, good. But keep that in mind. Fine. Rav Idi Bar Avin Nasif Kahanta. Okay. Rav Idi Bar Avin married a Kohen, a Bat Kohen. Nafku Mine Trey Bnei Smiche Rav Sheshet Bereidi Rav Idi Rishu Bereidi Rav Idi. And he had two kids who had real smicha. So clearly he is Talmud Chacham. Awesome. Great. It's clearly not the point of this Gemara. Amar Rav Papa, and Rav Papa goes farther and he says, Ilo Nasivna Kahanta, if I hadn't married a Bat Kohen, lo itarte, I wouldn't be so rich. And he was blessed. Amar Rav Kahana, Ilo Nasivna Kahanta. Now, this is a little bit weird because Kahana
is a Kohen.
Yeah. So, but, okay.
Doesn't it say somewhere there's multiple Rav Kahanas on some of the Rav Israel?
Yes, so we don't know which one this is, but he married a Bat Kohen. And he says, if I hadn't married a Bat Kohen, he lo galoy, I wouldn't have ended up in Galut. Whoa. Amrulay and his Talmidim said, Vahalamakom Torah Galita. Yes, you were driven out of your city, but like you were driven into a city of Torah. It wasn't like you had to leave your hometown, and then you were like, I don't know. Isn't it better? You got to move into Yer HaKodesh Lakewood, I don't know. Right. So he says, lo galoy kidagoli inche. Still, it wasn't the way that people should be driven out. Omar of Yitzchak, kol hanen em yisuda reshut. Anyone who benefits from a suda, which is, you know, volitional, let's say, lesov gola, will eventually go into exile, shneamar, v'ochlim karim mitzon, v'agalim mitzon marbek, uktiv, l'chenata yizlu birosh gola. Okay? So this is a, how would you characterize this section so far? Halachic? From the beginning. The beginning is mostly halachic, though we're not sure. It doesn't say asur, right? So then this is not really a gadata, it's maiserav, right? It's a little bit, well, please don't. So the notion that you can't marry Bat Kohen seems to be a halachic statement, if not halachic, at least some normative value, right? It's not like arbitrary. It's not like just a story. There's clearly they're telling you something that actually has like right some sort of normative. Is it usur? I don't know, but is it halachic in the sense that like. There's some normative value, probably. And then you have stories that are... Now, as we'll see, in halacha, the poskim seem to take this pshuto kimashma as a halacha. Yeah, like this is Nishrak in Shulchan Aruch, right? Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, what?
How much of it? Like the Bat Kohen?
We'll see. The Bat Kohen, right? That yes. And therefore, the poskim spend a lot of time figuring out, okay, but what is it, right? Who's a Bat Kohen? Who's a Talmud Chacham? Is it Am Haaretz versus Talmud Chacham? Is there a middle in between status? What about nowadays where there aren't as many Talmud Chachamim or the Amoratzim aren't the Amoratzim of that time? And then they start doing the whole thing. But they clearly take it seriously, halachically, right? Practical. Okay? Let's say for the moment it's practical. Yes. But it's already started raising the questions of what is an Am Haaretz? What is a Talmud Chacham? Okay? And it's brought in these stories that while, yes, they are somewhat Maiserav, right? They're stories that are illustrating the principle at play. It's not just a story for the sake of a story. We're starting to... You understand why the Gemara is about to launch into a discussion, which is going to get a little bit far afield. And if this bothered you already, as I see it bothered Rudy, give me a few minutes, because by the end, you're going to be screwed.
Our favorite
Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan! Kol Talmud Chacham Amar Besuda Bechol Makom Soch Machre VeBeito. Any Talmud Chacham who has too many meals will destroy his home. Almeni destroy and make his wife a widow. Miyatem it goes alive and make his young chicks into orphans. V'talmudo mishtakach mimenu, and his Torah will be forgotten. U'machlokot rabot ba'od alav, and many machlokot will come to him. U'dvarav einim nishmaim, and people won't pay attention to him, won't listen to him. U'mechal shem shamayim, and he desecrates the name of God. V'shem rabo, v'shem aviv, and his teacher and his father. V'gorim shem ra lo levanav, l'vnei v'rav atzov kol adarot. And there's a bad name for him and his children till the end of time.
That was a lot.
Mahi, what do they say? What will they say about your children? Oi! Omar Abaye, Karule, Bar Mecham Tanure. Right? They'll call him the child of the heater of ovens. And Rav of Bar Market Bekube, the one who dances in the marketplaces. Rapapa Amar Bar Malchech Pinche, the children of pots. Rav Shish Amar Bar Mach Reva, the children of the one who folds his clothes and sleeps like a drunkard, right? Like just falls asleep in his clothes. Okay. I don't know exactly what these insults are. It's like the Yiddish insults I don't get, like make broccoli grow out of your ears and whatever. Right, okay, I don't know. Okay, great. Now, this already, halacha, agada, I mean, clearly somewhat normative, but like it's an ethical statement. We're getting towards agadata, right? Like this is, yes? Well, it's normative in the sense that it's an agada. It's more like an ethical statement than a halacha. I wouldn't say usher, but it's, and it's clearly written in the agadic thing, right? We're starting to move towards agada. It's like, great, we're not done. Tanu Rabbanan, Lo Olam Yimkor Adam Kol Ma Sheyesh Lo V'Yisav Atamal Chacham. You should sell everything you own to marry the daughter of a Tamal Chacham. Okay. She'imet Ogolem Muftach Lo Shabanav Tamid Chacham. Because even if you end up dying or going to Galut, at least your children will be Tamal Chachamim. Va'al Yisav Batam Aretz. Never marry the daughter of Amaretz. She'imet Ogolem Banav Amaratzim. I'm using the colloquial there. Right? I'm a Haaretz, but I'm an Asim, right? Because if you end up not being there, gewalt on your children. Tan Rabbanan, la'olam yimkar adam kol ma sheyesh lo v'yishu l'bat talmud chacham v'yasi bita ol talmud chacham, sell everything to marry the daughter of talmud chacham, to have your children married by the daughter of talmud chacham, etc. Mashal, what is the mashal of the ideal marriage? Le'inve ha'gefen be'inve ha'gefen. If you ever hear this at a wedding or see it on an invitation to a wedding, that's what this is. Right? Yeah. From the grapes of the vine with the grapes of the vine. The grapes of the vine, the grapes of the vine. Now, why this? I saw a nice vart while I was researching this. Right? It's a vart. But, right? They said, why in ve'agefen, in ve'agefen? And not, it's a vart. But it's a good wedding vart. Why in ve'agefen and in ve'agefen and not like tamarim or something? What? So he could be then. Nizbeah could be his chashuv. But you want a nice vart? Because wine gets better with age. That's a wedding fort for you. Okay, good. Yalla. Wedding fort. Okay, now you have a wedding fort.
I thought you were going to say the Gemara in a wedding
about one of the sheetahs. It says, oh, it's Shepet by... I'm just reading Gemara. Okay, you... Oh, don't get me wrong. There are much crazier forts on this Gemara that go back to... Yes, I understand they go back to Eitz HaDaat. I get it. There are much crazier ones. I'm giving you a tame fort there, okay? Fine. One second. Today I just want to read through it. I want to highlight the problems. If all we get through this, I need you to understand why this Gemara is hard to understand. Okay, good. Davar hana. And if guys, if you're having trouble following this and you want to open Svaria, we're really just reading through the Gemara, so that's fine with me. Okay, we're about to turn to Mem Tenu and Beis. It'll be easy for you to find. Davar na umid kabel. It's beautiful. It's acceptable. It's great. Okay. V'lo yisabat amaretz, but don't marry the daughter of an amaretz. Mashal inve agefen beinve hasne. It's like marrying the grapes to the berries on the thorn bush. Davar ka'ur, it's disgusting. Ve'inu mitkabel. Okay? Great. So now we are moving towards agadic territory here. And now, well, once we're talking about it, let's talk about how great being part of the Talmud Chacham's family is. Let's just talk about it, right? We are moving very quickly from something that's somewhat normative into more ethical, broader values, the importance of Torah and being part of Torah families, right? And we're clearly starting to give wedding vorts here. Meaning, yes, what I quoted was a vort, but it's a vort and a vort, so that's fair, right? I mean, it's a vort and a vort, right? It's like, literally, it's saying, mashal, what do you describe? Min ve'agefen, min ve'agefen. Now, sometimes you'll hear at weddings, they have this song, which is really annoying, but it's really just that, right? Min ve'agefen, min ve'agefen, min ve'agefen. But that's the whole song. Right? It just goes on forever. I don't know. Okay. Fine. Yeah. Now the Gemara says, okay, now what happens, Rachmana Litzlan, if you can't find the daughter of a Talmud Chacham to marry? So what should you do? Tana Rabbana, lo olamim ka'adam kol ma she'yesh lo v'yisa ba'Talmud Chacham. Lo mata ba Talmud Chacham. Let's say you can't find the Talmud Chacham. Yisa ba gedolei hador.
What?
Gadol hador does not mean what we think of the gedolim. It means, Rashi says, anshei ma'asim tzadikim. It means good people, tzadikim. They're just not Talmud Chacham, tzadikim. Okay? Oh, very good. So now you start seeing things that are in between, right? You can have someone, he's a gadol hador. But just keep that in mind next time when someone calls someone the gadol hador, when you realize that the Gemara gadol hador means a non-Talmud Chacham. I don't know how that happened. No idea how that happened. Okay. It means someone who's very nice.
Nice guy.
Nice guy. Lo matzabat gedole ador. If you didn't find a gadol ador, yisabat rashi kinesiot. So marry the people who are in charge of, they knesset, the gabai, I don't know. Lo matzabat rashi kinesiot, or the leader, or something like that. Yisabat gabai tztaka. Now again, what it's clear now, the Gemara is saying that there's some hierarchy between the lowest of the lo amaretz and Talmud Chacham, right? A whole hierarchy, okay? And now Tosfot is going to challenge some of the exact ordering here because other sugyot imply different things. But it's clear that we now have a hierarchy. Lo matzabat gabai tztaka. You don't find the children of the tztaka collectors. Yisabat melam de tinoko. So then marry elementary school teachers, the children of elementary school teachers. Like, they teach Torah for a living. They're not telling me the chumim, but, you know, they teach Torah. I mean, could be worse, right? Could be worse. Velo yisa barame aretz. And now we are about to launch into where things get, okay. Why shouldn't you marry barame aretz? Okay, guys, all your questions, thinking about literal, not literal, now start thinking. Mipnei shehein sheketz. They are bugs. They are disgusting bugs. Unishoteim sheretz. And the Mepharshim say, why sheket sheretz? Aren't they both the same thing?
No.
Different things. What type of sheretz? Sheket, disgusting bugs. They are disgusting, and their wives are bugs. Val binoteyen. And what about their daughters? Who Omer? I quote the Gemara.
Oh, no.
Arur shochev in kol behema. Cursed is anyone who sleeps with an animal. Okay. Okay. Now, guys, now we have launched into Agadata, where we have launched into Agadata. Now you got to figure out, okay, what Amoritz are we talking about? And whoa, that's a little bit harsh. So, Koppel already said, Moshe says, whoa. We just said that there's a hierarchy. Clearly, we said if you don't find the Talmud Chacham, so you should marry all these other people, which means that this Amoretz is the lowest of the low. Very good. Now, which means, so already tell me. So good. Now you guys should start thinking.
But most people can't.
So you'll tell me, wait a second, that's not fair. Right? Oh, okay, good. I understand. No. One second. Guys. So now, already, the reason I wanted to read this Gemara without giving you Mikaro is because already one strategy to deal with this Gemara is to limit the Amei Haaretz in this Gemara to a very particular subset. I said one strategy. One strategy is to limit this. Now, in order to see whether that's true, what are we going to have to test it against? One second.
The other people that they
sign up. So for this Gemara, we had different statuses, and the beginning of the Gemara, the halachic part of the Gemara, when you say that a Talmud, an Am Haaretz, right? Remember, at the beginning of the Gemara,
right,
Rabbi Yeshua doesn't count as a Talmud Chacham.
Right. No, that wasn't the problem there.
It was a straw. Which means we have to test. But what do we have to do? We have to test it against the Bat Kohen thing and figure out whether there's different standards.
Wait, Rav, the problem with Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua was the fact that it was a Bas Kohen to Yisrael.
But a Talmud Chacham is fine. It's either a Kohen or a Bat Kohen. Or a Talmud Chacham. Yeah. That's what it said. Yes, that's what it said.
Rabbi Yeshua was correct. The reason he had those.
Let's assume for the moment that he's correct. Yes. Let's assume with this Gemara.
It says Kigon Bas Kohen Leisrael Bas Talmud Chacham Am Haaretz. It doesn't say Talmud Chacham.
Correct. The implication is that a Talmud Chacham is fine. No. Later on, when the Gemara says Lo Kasha Ha B'Talmud Chacham, right? When the Gemara says no, you'll be blessed if you marry a Bat Kohen, and it says no Ha B'Talmud Chacham Am Haaretz. Now you're right, but. You could say, well, there's blessed and not blessed, right? Nothing. Yeah. Except for Yeshua said terrible things happened to him. So we got to figure out, so if we want to limit it, we got to figure out, does it work throughout the Gemara? And do you have to have one standard of Am Haaretz throughout the Gemara? But a major strategy, as we will see, to understand this Gemara is exactly as Moshe says, which is to limit this Gemara to a particular type of Am Haaretz. And that is the position, I will just give you a few names, okay? Tosfot, Rif, Maharil, Maram Shik. Who did I give you here? A lot of people. I have a page and a half of people who just went in that in different directions. Okay, but that is one strategy. Okay, there's a second strategy. What's the second strategy?
Everyone that isn't Talmud Chacham.
That's one strategy, which is okay. So one strategy is to limit which Am Haaretz, and the other is to limit Talmud Chacham. Yeah. Fine. Those are two sides of the same coin. What else do you have to do? The same thing, right? You're
what
saying.
You say is what it means.
So you could take it literal. Very good. Okay, thank you, Ezra. Now this one you want to take it literal. Good. Okay, fine. What else? We'll see. There are people who take it literal. Now there's literal, and then there's like as close to literal as you can get, recognizing that this is rhetorical, right? But close to literal. I want to say, what are attitudes you could take this tomorrow? So you could go metaphorical. The most famous position on this is the Maharal. We're not going to read all the Maharal, but I did print it out for you because the Maharal alone takes half. I gave you like four full pages, single space, of the Maharal because the Maharal attacks every line in this Gemara systematically. Wow. It's not like he goes through every line in the Gemara and develops a theory and then plugs it in very carefully into every single line of the Gemara. So yes, you can go metaphorical or you could go the old exaggeration route, right? Okay, good. Now, it's getting... No, that is not an option in Gemara, sorry. Okay, it's going to get worse. Don't worry.
Yeah,
we're into the best part. Tanya, Am Haaretz are forbidden to eat meat. Shenemar, Zot Torah, Tabehima, Vahov. This is the Torah of the animal and the bird. Kol Osik B'Torah. If you learn Torah, Mutar Lechol Basar Behemah Avov, then you can eat meat and birds, poultry. Bullshit. Now you'll have to ask, why not fish? Why is fish not included? Oh, very good question. You tell me, why is it not? So it could be that it's not a meat. It could be that it's just, just a lower level, so they deserve have fish. Okay? Mm-hmm. Right? Or, right, what else is true about meat and birds that is not true of fish? Just Shechita. Very good. So keep in mind that Shechita might be important here because what is one of the things you know about Shechita?
Yeah.
Not yet. You don't know that yet. Shechita is hard and you need Talmid Chacham involved, right? Right? So that, keep in mind that there may be a practical explanation rather than, okay. And now we get to the worst part. Yay. Omar Rabbi Lazar, if you weren't clear that we have ventured off into very interesting agadic territory, and please don't tell me you're about to take this literally because then you are a sociopath. Omar Rabbi Lazar says, Am Haaretz mutter l'nachro b'yom ha-kippurim shachal yot b'shabbat. And Am Haaretz can be stabbed on Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbat. And it, wait, you think it's done, but it's not, because the Talmidim get up like Rudy, and they say, Oi, I have a Kasha, and the Kasha is not going to make it better.
Yeah.
The Kasha is not Rudy's Kasha, which is, what? How can you say it? It's no. Rabbi, I'm going to let Talmidim, Rabbi, I'm going to let Shoch, though. You're killing him. you should shift. Like, what are you doing stabbing? And instead of saying, I'm exaggerating, he says, wait, Amr Lahan, no, Zet Toen Bracha. Shchita needs a bracha. They don't deserve a bracha. Zayin don't bracha. And that's why you stab them. Okay? So, we are now you understand why these are gadatot. Everyone says, okay, we've got to do something. Because if you take it literally, then Rudy's face is the face you should have. Because, no, obviously you should not go and find an Amoret, a regular run-of-the-mill person who doesn't know enough Torah. Because, look, I know that you got, look, guys, you know I get angry when you complain about complicated sources, but do you really want me to say, oh, you're not comfortable with Hebrew? Well, you know what the Gemara says. I mean, come on, this is like, yeah. So, of course, so what are you going to have to do again? Same strategies. Is it metaphorical? We'll see, Maharal. Is it not just any Amar, it's very specific Amar, it's with a very specific set of circumstances, which is going to be the Rif, which is going to be the Ramban. Is it an exaggeration? Is it? Is it just an expression of hatred? Good. So again, that's why I have to figure out. Does it mean just uneducated or it's something else? Okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, Ama Aretz Osur Lihitlavot Imo Baderech. You cannot escort in Ama Aretz on the path. Shne'emar, because it says that the Torah is your life and it lengthens your days, but he doesn't learn Torah. Now, this implies that Amar is here to someone who doesn't know Torah, right? So we have to see, because here the problem is he lacks Torah, clearly. And the Gemara says, well, he's an Amaretz, which means Al-Chayev Lochas. He doesn't care about his own life, because, you know, he doesn't learn Torah. He's not going to care about your life. Bad person to travel on a dangerous road. I mean, like, you want someone who's going to take care of you, not someone who just doesn't care about life, you know. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Aretz, Mutal Lekaro Kedag. And Amar Aretz, you can rip him apart like a fish. Amar of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Shmuel Bar Yitzchak comes in and says, wait. Let's be precise. Umi Gabo, from the back. Right? There's not, like, you understand why you read this Gemara, you're like, wow! It's like, this is like, so I will just point out that even though this is clearly agadic, the Gemara does an amazing job of constructing this to sound like a halach, when it's like, chilukim, psukim, I know, but this is like, oh! No, Zetoun Bracha, Rebbe, how could you step him? You need Shchita. Oh, no, Bracha, please, Sofik Bracha the Hokel. No, please, we gotta be very careful here. No. Yeah, that's the whole Gemara reads like the whole plot. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tanya, but lest you think that this is one directional. Guys, lest you think it's only us who don't like the Amei Aretz. No, just know, they hate you just as much. But Tanya, Amar Rabbi Akiva says, Kishayiti Am Aretz, when I used to be an Am Aretz. Amarti, I used to say, Mi Yitain Li Talmud Chacham. Who could give me a Talmud Chacham? Va'anashchenu Kachamor. So I can bite him like a donkey. Amru Tamida, and his Hamida said, not. What Rudy's saying, what? You hated Tamida Chachamim? No. Rebbe, Omer Kekelev. What's wrong with a donkey? What? That's not enough. Amr Lahan, no. Zen no Sheikh Vashover Etzem. When a donkey bites, it breaks bones. Bizarre, but a dog, when it bites, Zen no Sheikh Vashover Etzem. It only bites, but doesn't break bones. It's very important. I wanted to break their bones.
Rebbe, why is this in a guy?
What? Right? So now, the amazing thing, now, guys. No, what do you mean? This is when he was not Moritz, right? When I was Moritz, I wanted to bite him. Now you'll say. Oh, very good. Oh, yeah. So, now, good Kasha. Was he thinking that way as an Moritz? Or this is retrospective. Was he a lungdish? All right, he was lungdish, and now we hate him.
He had a mind for Gemara.
Exactly. Clearly, I think he look at now. Now, but I will point out, now, what is, whatever is going on in this Gemara, it's clear that what the Gemara is now making, right, what's clear is that the dynamic that is being described in the Gemara is mutual, right? That this dynamic, the problematic dynamic between the Talmid Chacham and the Amoretz, isn't just that the Talmid Chacham and their ivory tower are saying all of this about Am Haaretz. It's clear that whatever dynamic is happening is mutual. Now, which started? That's a good question. Which started it? What? Or it's propaganda, right? Or if the Talmid Chacham saying, of course we can be this mean to them. They hate us, right? They want to kill us. So, you know, it could be, right? But that's what you have to wonder. And you also, now, we're also going to see that one of the problems with the Mefarshim we're going to rate, just going back already to Tosfos, is, wait a second. Rabbi Kiva was when he was an Am Haaretz, he wasn't like, he really hated Talmidei Chachamim. I mean, he married the daughter of Kalba Savua, right? Married Rachel with the commitment that he would go learn Torah. And then he went and he learned from nothing for 24 years. Are you talking about at that moment when he had the will to go learn? Like, at that moment, he wanted to kill Talmidei Chachamim? That doesn't seem to work, right? If you don't just not know Torah, you hate Talmidei Chachamim, it's very hard to say you're going to be wandering around as a shepherd and someone will come and say, will you marry me if you are willing to go and learn Torah? I'd be like, why would I do that with those people that I want to bite and break their bones? Right? Like, that's a very weird dynamic. So Tosfot and the Ritva, they're going to say, wait a second. We have to really wonder, because in order to figure out what Rabbi Kiva is saying, we need to figure out who Rabbi Kiva was before, because he wasn't just some anti, right? What we know about him elsewhere in Shas doesn't seem to indicate that he's someone who would have hated Talmidei Chacham. So that forces us to really ask, well, what's going on, right? And if Rabbi Kiva wasn't just some Russia who hated Talmidei Chacham, what does that indicate? That the critique is somewhat, whatever he's saying is somewhat warranted, right? Which means that after the Gemara heaping it on to the Am Haaretz, if Rabbi Kiva was in any way justified in saying what he said, it's now reversing and saying, but don't be so, you know, don't think that all you Talmidei Chacham are so great. We know about you also, right? So it's very important to figure out when Rabbi Kiva is saying this and why he's saying it and whether this is simply we hate them, they hate us, it's mutual, or is it a specific type of Am Haaretz, and Rabbi Kiva wasn't that type of Am Haaretz, and therefore, and we're talking about a specific type of Talmid Chacham. Right? And therefore, in order to get to the truth in the Gemara, we have to qualify both sides of this equation.
Rav, I think Chazal just got together to do a Purim Gemara one day.
That's possible too. Tanya, we're not done. Hi, Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says, yeah, call a Masi Bito Lam Aretz. If you marry your daughter off to an Aretz, Kilu Kofta, it's if you tied her up, Umanicha Lefnei Ari, and threw her in front of a lion. Ma Ari Dores Ve'ochel Ve'en Lo Boshet Panim. Just like the lion, to race is like to
trample.
Yeah, like to trample, to attack, whatever it is, eats
maul.
With all maul. That's probably the word. And without any shame, af Am Haaretz and Am Haaretz make, he hits uboel and has sex v'en lo bosh upon it with no shame. Now
he's going to be abusive.
He's going to abusive and marital rape. Right, that's what it sounds like. Right? Now this already, yeah?
Earlier point, so you said you should
try
to marry a daughter
before I marry a daughter.
So does that extend to like your granddaughter?
Possibly, if they're part of the family.
Longer, like, is it
So it's not clear, right? So again, we have to ask on that sugya. Why do you marry the daughter of a Talmid Chacham? Is it something like metaphysical? They carry on the spiritual traits, so maybe it's skipped a generation, that's okay. Is it that they grew up in the right household, right? And therefore, it's going to be, right? So you have to wonder. No, because if you're not a Talmid Chacham, the Gemara says you'll be cursed if you marry the daughter of a Kohen.
But I'm saying, what if the daughter of a Kohen is also a Talmid Chacham?
But if she's a Bat Kohen and you're not a Talmid Chacham, you're not good enough.
You're
that's
not good enough.
Yeah. Okay. Again, I wanted to read through this Gemara without giving you any sources because I wanted you all to feel the brunt of this Gemara without me starting to solve the problems. Look, guys, I could have started the Gemara very differently. I could have said, okay, there's a bunch of problematic Gemaras, and I'm going to lay out all the ways of solving it, right, and then we're going to do it. But, and you need to understand that you're in a Gadata, right? You need to, before you interpret it, you need to read it. You need to understand it and understand the problems and the directions you can take. Only then can you start plugging it in. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Il malei anu tzvichem lahem l'masa umatan. If it weren't for the fact that we needed them for business, or they needed us, or I mean, we need them, meaning we buy things from them, right? So like, they like us as customers. They would just kill us. Now again, is that highlighting how bad they are, or is it highlighting the fact that, you know, Tamid Chachamim are self-aware of how they sound in this Gemara, right? And they're like, you know, we do have a certain attitude to our merits.
Wouldn't lie.
What?
They wouldn't lie.
No, but it could be a self-awareness. It could be saying, look, right, meaning we understand that we have a certain attitude, but we also understand that when you have a certain attitude towards people, it's right. Reciprocated. Right? So is it just saying, is it just they're bad people, or is it self-aware that if we go around and saying you can kill Ami Aretz on Yom Kippur Shalayot B'Shabbat, right, that's our drusha from the, you know, from the Bima on Yom Kippur, you know, you're not making any friends. Right? Yecholio. Tana, Rabbi Chia, Kol Osek B'Torah L'Fnei Am Aretz. Anyone who learns Torah in front of Aretz, Ki'ilu Bo'el Arusato B'Fanav. It's if he, is sleeping with his betrothed in front of him, right? Meaning it's humiliating. Shneamar, Torah tzivlanu Moshe morasha, al tikri morasha elam morasa. Right, the Torah is our betrothed, and therefore, if you learn Torah in front of the Amoretz, you are sleeping with your betrothed in front of the Amoretz. Gdola sina. The hatred that Ami Aretz have towards Tamid Chachamim, yoter misinah shesone uvde kochavim et Israel. It's more than the idolaters hate Jews. Unishotehen yoter mehen, and the wives of Ami Aretz hate us even more than that. Right. So this is again. Is this just a description of how much they hate us? Is it a recognition, right, of the dynamic, right? Is the Gemara speaking out of two sides of them and saying, on the one hand, we really do have this attitude. On the other hand, we sort of have a self-awareness of the problems of the attitude, right? We got it. Tana. Shana uperesh yoter mekulan. The one who learned Torah and then left Torah, he's the worst of them all. He hates us more than anybody. Right? Tan Rabbanan. Shisha Dvarim Ne'emru Ba'Me'aretz. There are six things that you have to know about Amoretz. Ein Moshen Lehen Eidut. Ve'ein Mekablen Menu Eidut. You don't give them testimony, right? I mean, you don't have them as your witnesses. Right? You don't invite them to be witnesses. And you don't accept it if they show up. Ve'ein Megalen Lehen Sod. Don't tell them any secrets. Don't let them be the caretakers of orphans. Don't let them be in charge of tztaka funds. Don't escort them on the way. And some people say, you don't even announce their lost objects. Now, this is a very complicated halachic statement. Right now you're wondering, wait, we've just been saying Agadah. What does this? So now you have to ask, is this a halachic statement or an agadic statement? Right? What? Well, so, okay, good. So what might you think would push against it? Well, doesn't it go against halacha? So maybe it's just agadic. What else, what other complexities will force you to ask what this Gemara means?
No, it really amazes
and
makes sense.
Oh, very good. So if you go in Moshe's direction and say, well, we're talking about very specific Ami Aretz, right? So terrible, terrible people, maybe deserve death, so that, fine. But there's another clue in this Gemara that it's not so simple. Machrizen. Right, what is machrizen? So if I find a lost object and I announce, I found a lost object.
Wait, you don't right? know.
Very good, that was the bigger problem. Is wait a second. Right, if it meant to say that when Amaretz comes, you don't return it, then it should have said that. The problem is, you don't know whose it is, that's why you're doing an announcement. right? Oh, very good. So you could try to solve it and say he's looking for his wallet, or as we'll see, some of the poskim will, some of the Rishonim say, it's where you see a wallet fall off of a caravan which only had Amay Aretz on it. So I don't know which Amaretz it is, but I know it's Amaretz or something like that, right? Right, or it's, no, his name's on it, but you don't give it, maybe,
or it's an
right?
object that only Amaretz someone has.
What?
Or it's an object only Amaretz.
Right, and then the Gemara says, and why does the Tana come a knot like this? Right, and this comes back to Pasha's point before, which is the Tanakama. Why does the Tanakama say you do return the lost object? Because Zimnin did nothing mean a Zara Malya. He may not be good, but maybe have good children. You know? And then you don't want to take away the money from that jerk's kids, because his kids might be Tami Dechachom. You know, it happens. It happens. The Achilesh Nemar Yachin Zadeh Gilbash. Okay. That is the end of this Agadah, even though the Agadah actually goes till the end of the Perek. But this unit of the Agadah basically ends here. So, good. So, I'm not going to go through the sources now, but I wanted to read through it once for you because I want you to understand. What are the problems? Let's review now, broad strokes. What problems do we have to deal with? One is, what? So one is, this is really harsh. Okay, great. Another is, guys, what's another problem? Is, right, this certain of these statements seem problematic. Certain of them seem to be against halacha, right? That's one set of problems, right? Many of these. Another problem here is that it's not totally clear in the Gemara which part of it is agadic and which is halachic, because there are things in the Gemara which are halachic, like definitely at the beginning of the Gemara, right, in terms of sudat mitzvah, who can marry who, right? Those sound like halacha and are accepted la halacha. What does that do to the rest of the Gemara, right? What is the link between the halachic statements and the agadic statements? Are they linked because we're talking about Amar Aretz, but it's not necessarily the same Amar Aretz throughout the Gemara, right? Or it is the same type of Amar Aretz throughout the Gemara, and therefore what's true in the halachic statements is true in the agadic part, or what's true in the agadic parts is true in the halachic parts, right? And then we have to deal with different strategies. And again, one strategy we can take is to limit the type of Amar Aretz and say, yes, we really do hate them this much, but it's a very specific type of Aretz who does really terrible things, not just someone who doesn't know every ketos in the Sivas. You know, it's also, you know, maybe it's, as Moshe says, a Moser, or whatever, a Mumar Lahachis, or, right, someone who rebels against God, who knows, right? So one strategy is going to be to limit this and say, listen, yes, at some level, there's some truth in this Gemara, but it's about a very specific subset of people. It's not your general nice bala boss on the street who doesn't know that much Torah. It's the achers of the world, right? Now, what hints might you have? Well, the hint you might have is that at one point in the Gemara addresses Tana Uperish, someone who knew Torah and left it, where he's clearly not an Amoris in the sense that he's ignorant, right? And yet we are including him in this category of Amaretz for these purposes, which already indicates there's something more going on. He's the worst. Now, worst could just mean he's worse, but he's not an Amaretz. Or it could be he's worse, but in the way that we're talking about Amaretz, he does fit there, right? So one way of dealing with these Gemaras is to limit this to specific types of Amaretz and specific circumstances, right? Another direction you're going to take is to completely make this metaphorical, right? Is to say, listen, don't take any of this seriously. It has deep lessons. Another is to say it's not metaphorical. It is literal, but it's an exaggerated literal, right? Meaning we don't literally mean kill the Amaretz, but like we mean he's really, 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 really bad, right? Like really bad. That's going to be another direction that we have to take. But remember that everything you say not only is going to have agadic implications, but has halachic implications, because both the beginning of this Gemara and the end seem to be halachic in terms of who you can marry and in terms of the Hashavat Aveda. And then there are local things throughout that hint that there's more going out, like the Hashavat Aveda. We don't say don't return the lodge object. We say don't be machriz, right, when you don't know who it is, right? So that forces us to ask. Then we have the Rabbi Kiva Gemara, right, where Rabbi Kiva expresses hate Tamid Chachamim. Now, in all those, it could be that that's because he really was an Amaretz, and we're just showing that the hate is mutual. But it could also be the fact that we have these lines about, well, he hated the Tamid Chachamim, maybe there's an understanding, right, that he hated them, and so do other, right, Amaretz. And you have to wonder, is that right, is that saying, and they're not only are they terrible, but they also hate Torah. There's no hope for them, right? They don't just not learn Torah, they hate Torah, right? Is it just, right, highlighting how bad they are and why they're bad? Or, no. The point of this Gemara is to say, right, tongue-in-cheek. Like, on one hand, we are being very, very, very rhetorically strong in what we say about Am Yaretz, but in the same breath, we're saying, but you're not so great, right? And we're balancing it, and therefore, in the end, when you take the rhetorical message and you take the metaphorical message, part of it is going to be to correct, right, with the implicit critique, right? These are the questions and directions that we need to take when we get to it. But like I said, what I wanted to do today was simply read, because I didn't want to solve. I wanted people to be as angry as Rudy is, because I wanted you to see that this is a Gemara that you have to grapple with, right? Meaning this isn't a Gemara you can look at and just say, right? I mean, if you want to, you can say literal, but there's too many problems, right? It's very hard to say this is literal, but you need, right? There's self-contradictions within it. There's halachic problems in it, right? And literal, right? I mean, again, part of the reason everyone's convinced it's not literal, not just so crazy. I mean, really? You're not endorsing, right? You took it literally. You're endorsing murder. I mean, this is very strong stuff. Good. So next time, we will keep all your questions in mind. And again, I printed out a very long story sheet. I am not reading everything right inside. It's 8 pages, single spaced. I may have shrunk it down to font 10. I'm not really sure, right? Just to fit it on the page. The point was not that. The point was I want to show you different directions, and I want you to have reading material. The Maharal, I can't read all of it for you. I mean, I could, right? But like, Maharal, like I said, we'll see, is the one who goes metaphorical, and he literally goes line by line, and he gives you a systematic idea of what this is. We'll see. But the Rif, the Ramban, right, in multiple places in Shas, have long things. The Gaonim already weigh in, right? We don't usually have, but here, all of the Rishonim are quoting Rosh Hashanah, who weighed in on this Gemara. So that we will do next time, which I think is in 2 weeks, actually, because next week I'm in London. So just for 2 days, like just for the fair. So I guess 2 weeks. Okay, unless I end up taking a different day, because Ray Ginsburg is also traveling, and like, you know, it could be that maybe I'll add a slot. No. I'm not overlapping with him, right? Like on purpose, right? I go and he, right. There's I don't think there's any time when more than one morning Seder Rebbe.